Hello and welcome to another Blue Toon podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. The Blue Toon podcast is sponsored by Marcos Chipper. You canna beat the scran, doing it Marcos. I'm Colin Byers and we're going to start with an apology. We missed last week's recording due to illness. It's been over 2 weeks since we've uploaded. We were meant to record after the 4-4 game. But after that, I felt a bit unwell and actually ended up being off work for almost a week. Totally knocked out by a flu virus. Haven't been as unwell and like that for a long, long time. Not totally over it as yet, but as usual, or as I say, usually with me is Martin Smith. However, he's now off sick with the flu himself. So it's fairly getting round, so it's just going to be myself tonight. And before anybody starts discussing or thinking what it might be, it's not coronavirus. We're certainly not going to get beaten by something that's named after a light beer. So as I said, it's just going to be me tonight, but hopefully we'll crack on through and we'll make the best of it. So this week we're going to go over the two home games against Airdrie and Forfar. We'll look ahead to the trip to Falkirk, and then we'll assess as well new signing Luke Boland's performances so far since he's joined from Aberdeen. So the first game obviously was Airdrie. The first of the back-to-back home games, Airdrie at home, possibly was it the one game that we weren't expecting to get much out of it, if anything. But straight away, there were four changes. Jim does like a change in his lineup. Out went Ferguson, Hooper, Lyle, and Cook, and in came Bolin, Brown, Smith, and Ferry. And changed the formation again, reverted to his 4-1-4-1. And the difficulty being is that the back four was totally changed again, bar two. Edie was there as well, but Edie played at right back. Edie's a good player, good defender, but as a right back, I don't think that's his best position. He's not going to give you much as an attacking threat. And as we've said many times on the Blue Toon podcast, when you play Conroy or Leach in a wide position, sometimes that just leaves your right back exposed because they like to drift inside quite a lot. But Edie was possibly picked because of his defensive quality, so he wouldn't be sort of venturing too far forward and then leaving his centre halves exposed as such. But, you know, Conroy playing on the wide right position keeps drifting in, and we keep saying it week in, week out. It gets too congested in there, especially when you're playing five in midfield anyway. So when he comes inside, Leach does the same. But on the plus side, Bolin come in, seemed to slot in quite well. Bearing in mind he hadn't even trained with his new teammates at that time. So he seemed to slot in quite well. We'll go over his performance a little bit more depth a little bit later. Smith was given the chance to play up front. I think he'll be quite disappointed with his performance. Not that he could do much about it, really. Playing up front on your own in a game where you're not getting much possession and there's not much coming your way, you're going to struggle a little bit, especially when you haven't played too many games recently. So I think he looked a bit detached, especially from his midfield. Nobody really got forward as much as they could to support him. And he did look a little bit lost, a little bit out of the game completely. So, but again, it's probably not entirely his fault. You know, he probably plays better with a partner. And maybe in future games when we see that happening. But in terms of the game itself, first half, you know, Airdrie did have a few chances, a couple of chances. Fleming did have a couple of good saves there as well. They probably showed a little bit more of an attacking threat. But there was one part of the first half which kind of summed up the season, I guess, for Peterhead so far. And Jason Brown managed to not have one, but have two shots cleared off the line within a matter of seconds. Came from the corner, I think it was. Keeper made a bit of a flap at it, dropped the ball, it fell straight to Jason Brown. And he does everything right with his shot, he keeps it on target, but he just hits the man that's on the line. He then clears it and it comes back straight back to him. And then not only does he get his shot on target again, but he manages to then hit the second man who's now on the line. If he tries to leather it and he blasts it over the bar, we'd all be criticising and shouting at him. But as I said, he's done the right thing. He's kept it. He's kept it low. He's got it on target. But he's just been unfortunate. He's hit the two guys on the bed on the line. Another day, those kind of the ones would go in as well. I mean, how many times can you hit two men on the line? It's just unbelievable, really. Nothing going right for them at this present moment in time. But if that goes in, you know, you're going into the half one up. Second half, you know, there's an early effort from Leach. Was it a cross? Was it a shot? It probably never come to either, really. You know, really early in the half, it's almost straight for the kickoff. And then straight away up the other end, and they're going to get another penalty. And we said the last time out when we were previewing this, they've had two penalties in the two games against us, so that's three games now and three penalties they've had. The one earlier in the season at home was probably soft. This one, I think, is even softer still. It is a coming together. He's had his heels clipped as he's kind of trying to looks as though he's going to take a shot. It's very, very harsh. I think it was Simon Ferry who was the one that was penalised. Very, very harsh. I don't think you can give that a penalty. I mean, if you're going to give that as a penalty, then you're giving everything else out with the box the same again. But it was a good penalty. He's taken it well. But again, it's you're conceding or giving away a penalty or giving away a goal that's come from a penalty. And there's nothing really much you can do. If it was a mistake defensively, you might be able to work on things like that. But you just kind of compensate for that kind of things. And again, the second goal. It's come from a counter-attack more than anything else. And when you look at the goal, you'll wonder how he's managed to get so much space at the back post. If you look at it, you'll realise that Jack Leach hasn't really tracked back enough. He's tracked back almost too late because the full-back's managed to get a free shot unopposed. It's come from a good save, but you need if you're going to play wide men like that, they need to be tracking back, and that's why he's ended up in so much space. But before that, Edie had a chance as well inside the box. Is it one of those that's fallen to the wrong man? Possibly, but at this stage of the game, you're looking for anybody to score and just get the ball in the back of the net. The match then obviously ended 2-0. Disappointing, again. It was the third game in a row that we've lost. At this stage of the season, is not a good sign. But, again, we've probably said, as I said, it's probably one of those games that you weren't expecting to get much out anyway. But you're looking for more of a performance side of things. And as I said, that Boyle coming in, although we've lost 2-0, he has looked pretty good, or he did look good in that game. And there are signs that things are starting to turn around slightly. But we need to start beating the teams around about us rather than hoping and praying that their points are going to be dropped before we start looking at their results. We need to start winning our own games as well. But the good thing about the Airdrie loss is that within 2 days, 3 days, we had Forfar at home on the Tuesday night. Obviously, this was the replayed game after the game was abandoned a couple of weeks ago. Excuse me, due to the winds. But again, Jim does like his changes, and he had four again. Another four changes. This time it was Cook was in, Stevenson, Boyd, and Lyle, and out went Eddie, Smith, Boyle, and Fraser. And he changed it to a 4-4-2. Lyle and Boyd was the two up top. We'd said before as well, against these kind of teams running about us, especially at home, you want to try and play two up top. And I like the combination of Lyle and Boyd, because Lyle is predominantly your target man. He's the one that the long balls are going to be aimed at. And then Boyd can, he get the flicks and try and get the knockdowns or the second balls and things like that. And it did, by a large extent, it looked good. It's the first time in a long time I think we've had a combination like that. We've had Boyd in armour at some points as well. Two almost similar kind of style players. Whereas this time, as I said, Lyle's predominantly your target man, can win the headers and things like that. So, and I think it did result in a better performance as well. Look at the stats. We had 14 efforts on goal, and five of those were on target. And again, I have to say, before we start going too much into the game, McCollum in the 4-4 goal, he had an excellent game. Again, he had another one back in August. We won that one 1-0, but it was because of him. It was only 1-0. Some of the saves he produced in the most recent game, especially the Boyd volley, he shouldn't be saving that. I mean, he's kept his team in it. He's maybe even kept his team in the league with performances like that. So we shouldn't be too sort of downhearted in the fact that we've drawn. Keeper's had a brilliant game. He's kept his side in it. You could argue that we haven't killed the game off, and there's a lack of sort of confidence in killing a game off. But as I said, McCollum's had was one of those games where he seemed to be there. He seemed to be saving everything. Bowling had a terrific header midway through the second half. And another day he heads that and it goes in, because what he's done is he's connected with it so well. It's actually going straight into the hands of the keeper. As I said, another day he doesn't connect with it properly, but then it goes in. So it's just one of those things. But winning is a habit, and you get into a habit of winning games and knowing how to win games. But so is not winning games. So we've been through a spell where we haven't won a lot of games. So suddenly we were in a winning position, and we couldn't kill the game off by finding a second goal, but we also couldn't kill the game off by not conceding. And the players did seem to get really sort of nervous or edgy as the time ticked on, and we couldn't find that second goal. And I think that's what's happened with Forfar's equaliser. It's just a nameless sort of ball into the box, and he's from where we were sort of standing, he seemed to sort of, it looped into the net. I don't know if he's made a proper connection on it or not, and it's why it's sort of looped into the net rather than it's sort of been headed into the net. As I was saying with Boland's chance, if he doesn't sort of head it as well, he maybe does score. But that's what's happened with the 4-4 equaliser. But as I said, it's a much, much better performance. And it seemed to be, particularly the second half, I think James maybe sort of read in the right arc slightly at half time. Everything seemed to be a bit slow, a bit sort of lethargical. It was definitely two teams that didn't want to lose the game. And you certainly didn't want to be going in at half a goal down. But second half, they came out all sort of guns blazing. And it was a terrific performance. Just a pity we couldn't get the second goal or third goal, because I think if there was a second goal, 3 and 4 might have came quickly after as well. But it does show that there's performances there. It does show that there's ability there, and there is performances there that possibly it should be enough to see us stay in the league for another season. And I'd be quite happy to look at the rest of the fixtures and just say, well, you know, we can get performances, we can get the results that we need, but we just need to start, you know, being a bit more clinical and sticking the ball in the back of the net a bit more often, and that's obviously what's going to happen. And if you start scoring goals, and it sounds obvious, but if you start scoring goals, then you will start winning matches. But it's not very often that a team in League One will play back-to-back games, sort of play Saturday, Tuesday. Particularly, you won't be playing two home games on the bounce. So it was a big ask for the players. I guess that was the reason why Paddy Boyle was dropped. It's nothing to do with performances, because he's been pretty consistent. Probably Jim was worried about the fact that we're supposed to be playing Saturday, Tuesday, then Saturday again. I was just a bit concerned that getting three games in a week out of Paddy probably wasn't the thing that was going to happen. So it was a big ask, hence probably the four changes to this game as well. And let's face it, it's not just a big ask for the players, it's a big ask for everybody involved with the club as well, because as I say, you don't play midweek games very often. So it was a big effort from the staff as well. And let's face it as well, the work that goes into doing things like the programmes, for example, 60 pages worth of a programme that comes out usually every second week. For home games, you had a home game on a Saturday, and then you had another 60-page worth of program again out on a Tuesday. And these are all available digitally, so they're not easy to produce. So it was a terrific effort for everybody involved. So with the 10 games remaining, I still think we need to be hitting that 40-point mark. So we're sitting on 26 at the moment, so you're looking at 14, 15 points for the remainder of the season to get you where you need to be, which is obviously survival. There is 10 games, there is only 4 left at home, there are 5 away, but you look at the fixtures, there are winnable ones, particularly away from home as well as the home ones. So even if you look at your home ones, which are against Raith, Montrose, Stranraer and East Fife, out of those 4, you would look to get minimum 9 points out of those. So you'd be looking at the Montrose, Stranraer and East Fife games. And away from home, we've got Falkirk, Stranraer, Clyde, Dumbarton, Forfar and Airdrie. So two of those away games are against the two teams that we're fighting against. So if you can win three games at home and then win those two at Stranraer and Forfar, that gives you your 15 points. So the other games become not null and void, obviously, because you don't want to be putting all your eggs in one basket, but there is enough there for for us to look and say, well, I think there's enough here to look at and getting what we need to. With the back-to-back games against Stranraer and Forfar towards the end of the season, those are the games that it could, you know, hopefully by that time it's almost sorted out as to where we're going to be. But we've got Stranraer on a Tuesday night, which is obviously going to be tough. It's going to be tough anyway, but the rearranged game now on the Tuesday night is going to be even more difficult. There's a slight change in the old, can you do it on a cold Tuesday night in Stoke? Well, can we do it on a cold Tuesday night in Stranraer? Which I hope we can, because we've had a good record doing there recently. So, as I said, I think we're still looking at sort of 14, 15 points for the rest of the season. And try and get what we can. Obviously, the next two games are going to be difficult. It's Falkirk and Raith. But we've beaten Raith at home already. I know the weather wasn't great. They probably didn't fancy the conditions. But, yeah, we're at home. We should try and get as many points as we can. And if we can get a win against Raith at home, then that's a bonus. It makes things a little bit more easier. As games sort of run out and for the other teams, you know, picking up these kind of extra points would be a bonus. And you look at Clyde, who've now won two in a row. They've beaten Falkirk, and they've beaten Montrose in the last two games. I think they probably feel as though that they're just far enough ahead now as well. They're 7 points clear of Forfar, 5 points clear of Peterhead as well. They might feel as though another couple of wins would get them safe. So I think you're looking at a three-horse race. Stranraer might be just far enough away from us, particularly after the game we've got on the Tuesday night. If we win that, I think that pretty much seals it, that we're not going to go down automatically. But I think, again, there's only 2 points between us and Forfar. I think with the results that we've got, or games that we've got, the pressure would be on them as well. We've got a game in hand to come, as I said, and that's against Stranraer, so we should be definitely looking at getting as many points as we can, and it's in our hands, because obviously things can change, but we're definitely on the right track. And if we can get performances like we did against Forfar and you know, manage the game better in the last 10 minutes and try and get goals that will kill off games, then I'm sure we'll be looking back at the towards the end of the season and looking to build on next season's campaign. So, as we said, Luke Bowling made his debut against Ayrshire, a loan signing from Aberdeen for the rest of the season. It wasn't really actually supposed to play against Ayrshire, but Scott Hooper obviously reported an illness at that time. Obviously, we've since discovered what it is. At that time, obviously, he wasn't feeling particularly well. So he was thrown in and started alongside Jason Brown in the centre of defence. And as I said, he did terrifically well. He won his headers. He looked strong. He looked agile. And it's exactly what we're probably needing. Somebody who's not too fancy, just does the basics, just does the basic defending, you know, win the headers, win the tackles. And as time kind of progresses, if he's going to partner Jason for the rest of the season, which, you know, given that Scott Hooper's now going to be out for the remainder of the season by the looks of it, the options are very limited now in the centre-half position, with David Ferguson primarily been playing at right-back, and Cammy Adey's been sort of in and out of the team and has been playing at right-back quite a bit as well. So there'll be a partnership there. There'll be a partnership that will develop as the games go on. As I said, there's only 10 games left, but I guess they'll do quite well. He is only 20 years old. His contract is up at the end of the season at Aberdeen, so he's got an opportunity here to put himself in the shop window, whether he decides that he's going to go elsewhere, or you know, Jim might come back and say to him, like, try to get you last season or the start of the season, and he decided to go to Aberdeen because of the full-time schedule. So you never know what's going to happen between now and the end of the season. For what we've seen so far, he's looked really good. And as I said, if he's going to develop a partnership with Jason Brown, then that'll be beneficial to both parties, I think. And Jim's been saying as well that he's looking for Jason to become a leader as such. He is obviously the senior centre half, which is a strange thing to say about a 23-year-old, but you know, he's still got you know, at worst he's got 10 years left on his career, so he's obviously still learning himself. But I think his performances this season have been better. He has been in and out of the team slightly this season, which I think at times has been a little bit harsh. But he seems to be much more consistent with his performances. The sort of silly mistakes that he was making last season aren't as readily available isn't the right word, but he hasn't been making them as much as he has been maybe his last season. And of course last season in a lower league, is, if you like, his mistakes weren't being punished as such. So he's at a higher level, he's competing against better players, and I think as well there are aspects of his game that he can develop like anybody can, if he is, as we mentioned before, that if he is going to be a leader as such, then there's nothing better than seeing your centre half, your leader, or whatever you want to call him, just being very, very good at his job, very good at his marking people out of the game and things like that. So we've got to sort of make sure that we're not being too harsh on these guys because they are young. Another thing as well, we've mentioned a few times already that Jim does like to change his team. He's changed the team between the two games. Interesting sort of thing I looked at over the course of the season. Only twice this season has a back four played three or more times in a row. There's been a couple of occasions where a back four has played two games in a row, but for the rest of the time, there have been changes. Now I get that there's been injuries and things like that. There hasn't been a lot of suspensions. I think we've only had three red cards all season, so these are changes that Jim is making because of whatever reason he feels. But if you've got a consistent back four, a back four that almost picks itself, that partnership right across the back four becomes a bit more solid. And they get to know each other much more as well. They know, if we're talking about centre halves, for example, they'll know when one wants to go, when one wants to come deep, etc. I just think that sometimes that we've been a bit too, there's been too many changes and there's not been enough consistency. I mean, last season, your back four pretty much picked itself. You knew exactly who was going to be playing and what position. Whereas this season, you know, we've got Cammy Eddie playing right back on a few occasions. We've had Stevenson there. We've had Ferguson there. Brown's been in there as well. And centre half wise, there's been just so many different combinations. It's been fearsome. But I just think sometimes if we're changing it too much, you can change your midfield, you can change your strikers, and change your formation and things like that. But I think if you've got a basis of a back four and a goalkeeper, I think that's a good basis for you to go and build the rest of the team round about. So maybe that's something that, as I said, Jim's obviously, he's the guy that's in charge. He knows the players, he knows what he wants to do. But I think maybe that's where we've fallen down slightly and there's been too many changes. And then that kind of aspect is where we've been letting ourselves down slightly. But you never know. But again, I'd be expecting changes again for the next game. I know it's been it's been over a week since we've played. Scott Hooper's obviously going to be missing for the which we believe is going to be the remainder of the season, which is obviously going to be tough on him. And we'll wish him well, obviously, and we wish him a speedy recovery. But when we go down to Falkirk, I would be anticipating changes again. I would see, I would like to see Paddy Boyle come back. I think he'll be an automatic one to go straight into back into the left back position as well. Although, you know, Ryan Conroy did play well in that position against Forfar. It was a different element, and I thought actually he and Alan Cook sort of combined well on that sort of left side, and Conroy actually gave you a different sort of aspect. He was able to attack and get the crosses in as what you would expect. He didn't have to do too much going the other way, which I guess is a good sign. But I would still think the Paddy would come in as a natural left back and to go to a place where you're not, again, you're not expecting much from it. So again, we're looking at changing the back four. It looks like Bolan and Brown will probably partner in the centre half position, and then it comes to your right back position again. Does he stick with Stevenson or does he bring in Ferguson? I would probably go with the more experienced Stevenson and leave him and try and get as much experience round about the two centre halves as much as possible. And then your midfield, well, your midfield probably picks itself in terms of you're going to have Ferry, you're going to have Brown, Fraser will probably come back into it. And then he'll probably look at Leach and Conroy wide. It's not what I would go with. I just think this is what he would go with himself. And then he'll probably go with Lyle as a lone striker, just to try and hold up that ball as much as he can, and get the midfield involved as much as he can. You know, if we come away with a 0-0, I mean, I think we'll be quite happy with that down there. If you look at Falkirk, you know, obviously under David McCracken and Lee Miller, they got off the like a house on fire and got off to a really good start. But they've just kind of slipped up slightly. They've just hit a bit of a sticky patch. And I say a sticky patch. They've won two and drawn two and lost one of the last five, which is a sticky patch that I guess we would love to have, winning two or five games. But since they beat four 6-0, they have only won two games. And strangely, they drew 1-1 with Stranraer, and then they drew 1-1 with Raith. They lost to Clyde last Saturday, 3-2. But the game against Forfar, when they won 6-0, they scored four goals inside the last 10 minutes. So it was a bit of a... the six, if you look at that and you go 6-0, well, that's a bit of a one-sided affair. But actually, it was only 2-0 with 10 minutes to go, and they scored four very, very late goals. So it wasn't maybe just the most one-sided performance you would see. But we haven't won at all yet. We've just had the one draw. Obviously, first game of the season, the 0-0. Then we had a 4-0 down there, then a 3-1 in the reverse just after New Year. So, you know, it is going to be very difficult. But we've said on many occasions, this is the kind of games that you won't be expecting anything. Anything you get out of it would be a bonus. And obviously, the main guy to keep an eye on is Declan McManus. Hit a bit of form as well since the new management team has come in. He's now on 17 goals for the season. I think he's two behind David Goodwillie in the rankings. So he'll be keen to get his goal scorer run going as well. So again, overall, it's going to be a very, very difficult game. Surprised by the appointment of the referee. There's a referee called Craig Napier. He's only had 7 League One appearances this season so far. Still a relatively young referee. He's had 27 games all together this season, but only 7 of them have been in League One, and he averages 3 yellow cards a game. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what kind of performance we're going to get from him as well, because we haven't had him, as I said, this season so far. But interestingly, he's refereed Airdrie 3 times at home. I don't know if he's, in fact, purely coincidental, but as I said, we haven't had him before, so we'll see how it goes with that. But overall, I expect it to be very, very difficult. And as I said, anything less than a loss would be classified as a bonus. I think anything, a draw would be a great, great result going into the remaining fixtures for the season. So we'll see how the guys get on Saturday. But that'll do it for another Blue Team podcast. Hopefully we've got a full squad back again next week if all these illnesses and flus all disappear. So our thanks go to our sponsor, Marcus Chipper, and of course to you guys for listening as always. This has been the Blue Toon Podcast. I've been Colin Byers. Thanks so much. Cheers.